Our New Testament scripture reading for today is Acts, the second chapter, reading the first 21 verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have a confession to make. This sermon is a Saturday night special. Yes, I wrote it yesterday. Last night, actually. I had this awesome sermon ready that I wrote on Tuesday and Wednesday, all about Pentecost and the birthday of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was great. Did most of it on Tuesday and Wednesday, and on Thursday, when the bulletin needs to be done and the bulletin extras need to be locked and loaded, I dutifully sent it all in and was ready for Sunday. And then Minneapolis happened. You've seen it. A local policeman there, white guy, put his knee and all his weight on the neck of an African-American man named George Floyd for over 9 minutes and killed him in the most brutal and pitiful way possible, all over the question of a counterfeit $20 bill in a grocery store. And you know the rest. The entire country erupted at the sight and sound of that murder captured in excruciating detail on a cell phone. Riots in Atlanta, Houston, Oakland, D.C., L.A., all over. Last night again, in even more cities, New York, Portland, Salt Lake, Columbia, South Carolina. America is burning. And you must know why people are rioting and protesting, because violence happens too often to African Americans in this country. It has happened way too much. Racism has poisoned the beleaguered history of this nation. And it's happening again now. So I need to put my nice little sermon aside today. If you want to read it, email me, I'll get it to you. But we need to deal with this because today is Pentecost. Of all days, we need to deal with racism in our country and what we can do about it. Because the Holy Spirit came today. God sent it to his church to do mighty things, holy things, great things. And those things don't include killing people that don't look like you. So, I'm going to get to Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost, I am. But first, I need to give you some history about me, where I come from, and all this. When I grew up in Laurel Hill, I was lucky enough to be next door neighbors with an African American family. They lived just up the hill from us. And the mom, a woman named Queen Esther McLean, worked in our home. Queen Esther, such a regal, royal name. But apparently, when she was growing up, she was little and skinny and scraggly, and her family called her Pee-wee. No matter that she ended up being nearly 6'4", she was always called Pee-wee throughout her life, by her mother, by her children, and by my family too. But she was truly a queen. She was forever regal. Pee-wee was a wonderful and gifted cook. Whatever she tried to make, and my mom gave her some challenges in the kitchen, she made it taste delicious. Pee-wee had a large family. Her mother, a Pentecostal preacher, lived with them. She had five children. Ronnie was the oldest, then Molly, then J.D., then Roger, then Melissa, and then the youngest, Lenny. Roger was a year younger than me, and J.D., Jesse Donnell, was 3 years younger. It wasn't long before Ronnie and J.D. and I started playing together. I would get off the bus from Sneed's Grove School and go back to our backyard, find a big stick, and start pounding on an empty 50-gallon oil drum that my Uncle Morris had left there. I'd go bang, 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 and pretty soon, Ronnie and J.D. would be running down the hill to meet me. What we played depended on the season. Sometimes it was baseball with imaginary man on first and second. Sometimes it was football, sometimes basketball. A lot of times it was digging worms in the kudzu field and fishing for brim and catfish. As we got older, we would camp out in the yard or in the woods or on the dock. We folded in a few of my other friends, Stearns Bingham and Scott Miller. After a while, we started water skiing on the lake. We didn't know that black people didn't water ski. Apparently, other people knew this, but we didn't. We did everything together, so we all did it. We all learned how to water ski. First on two skis and then on one. One time I was driving the boat, and J.D. and Stearns were skiing, and Stearns' rope was shorter than J.D.'s, and he delighted in spraying water in J.D.'s face. And all of a sudden, J.D. looked up and saw a cypress tree dead ahead. He had a split second to put his ski in front of his body. From the boat, it looked like he bounced off the tree at the same speed he went into it. I cut two ski ropes getting to him, but he was all right. We were all afraid that Pee-wee would never let him ski with us again, but he showed up the next day. J.D., I said, I can't believe that Pee-wee let you come back. What did you tell her? He smiled. He had a bandage on his thigh with a deep bruise. Well, I knew she wouldn't let me ski anymore if she thought I hit a tree, so I told her I got kicked by a mule. A little while after that, Brown versus the Board of Education arrived in Scotland County, and we found out that we were going to get to go to school together. We were born into segregated schools, so going to separate schools didn't seem strange or wrong or off. It was just the way things were. But when we found out that we would get to be in school together, we were happy. Racial integration in the school system in Scotland County was hard. There was a lot of opposition and a lot of conflict. I remember as a 17-year-old having race riots like those this week in Scotland High School. I remember having Scotland County deputy sheriffs in the classroom halls with sawed-off shotguns. I remember that the vice president of our student body, an African-American guy, was shot dead one night off campus. One day, I was trying to cross the commons in the main building, and a fight broke out between about a dozen white and black students. As I crossed the commons, trying to avoid it, someone pushed me into the middle, and suddenly I was being shoved and hit, and I fell to the ground, and right then, this big brown arm reached in and pulled me out of the pile. It was Ronnie. I'd already drawn my fist back to hit him, but then he smiled at me, and then I saw it was him and smiled back. Later that afternoon, shooting baskets at my house, we talked about it and decided we couldn't ever let what was happening at school get in the way of our being friends. Ronnie and JD both became very successful people. Ronnie went to UNC Chapel Hill, pledged a fraternity, graduated at the head of his class. He became a buyer for Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. And nowadays, I go up there and I take him and his wife, Portia, to Wake games. JD went into the Army, became a drill sergeant at Parris Island, did 20 years in the military and was honorably retired, then moved to Denver and did 20 years as a postmaster, and is now living a great life on not one, but two pensions. A few years ago, he and his wife Gladys moved back to North Carolina, and now JD comes down to our family parties and plays guitar with me in my band. Both Ronnie and JD married well, and they have wonderful children and grandchildren. When Pee-wee died a few years ago, we all gathered at their house in Laurel Hill, and I sat with them for an evening. It felt just like being with my family. No sense of race at all. Whatever they were, I was. We were the same people. It was just us. Ronnie's son, Reggie, was there, and he asked me if all those old stories were true. And we laughed and laughed about the cypress tree and the mule. The reason I'm telling you all this today, right after George Floyd was killed in broad daylight by a white policeman in Minneapolis, is not just to appeal to your sentimentality, though I really am getting pretty misty telling it. And to be honest, what I'm sharing is just anecdotal. There's no empirical proof here. But I want to underline a really important principle, something I truly believe. And that big truth is this. You need to be friends with people that are different from you. It may be the most powerful way to fight racism. Actively seek friends, dear friends, good friends that are not your race. Asian friends, Arab friends, Latino friends, white friends, Native American friends, African American friends, friends that are a mix of all those. And not just one token friend that you can dust off as proof or as a trophy. See, I'm not a racist because my daughter adopted a little girl from Africa. See, I'm not a racist because I have this one Asian friend from work. I'm not talking about one single hand-picked friend to prove to yourself that you're okay. You need to be consistently seeking friendships with people that are different from you. Friends from other cultures and other races. Seeking them out, inviting them to do things. Bringing them food and investing in them and their children. Do you want to beat systemic racism in America? Do this one simple thing. Make friends. Make friends with someone different from you. That is how you do your part. And that is how you change the world. Okay, now I have just a few minutes to talk about Pentecost, but it is exactly on line with what we've been discussing. I believe that Jesus saw Pentecost as a way to make all the races as one. Seriously. He wanted to unite black people and white people and brown people and other hues of people as one church. And he did that in an amazing, strategic, ingenious plan. See if you can follow this. Pentecost was a Jewish festival. It followed right after the other Jewish festival, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It was a festival very much like we have here at Mardi Gras in New Orleans. People from literally every country in the world come and pack that city for a week of parades and music and food and all kinds of things we probably shouldn't talk about here. Necklaces of beads. So during the festival of Pentecost, devout Jews from literally every country in the known world packed into Jerusalem. They were nothing alike, all skin colors, all races, different languages, but they were in Jerusalem for that festival. And here's my theory. Jesus planned the coming of the Holy Spirit to coincide with all them being there So that in one amazing move, he could send his message of peace and grace and forgiveness to the ends of the earth in one fell swoop. Look at this. The Last Supper that we're going to share today, what we call Maundy Thursday, was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and that was part of the Passover weekend in Jerusalem. Pentecost, the next festival, was 50 days, 50 days after that meal, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So you have the Last Supper, then the next day, Friday, Jesus is crucified, then the Sabbath, and then Jesus rises from the dead on Easter Sunday. That is 3 days after the feast. And then, in the first chapter of Acts, it says Jesus, after he was resurrected, stayed with the disciples 40 days. Okay, first, I would love to be a fly on the wall for those 40 days that Jesus spent with the disciples after he was resurrected. But more importantly, let's do the math. You have Maundy Thursday, then 3 days, then 40 days. So 43 days after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus orders the disciples not to leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come upon them and he ascends to heaven. So 7 days later, 50 days is Pentecost. The disciples obediently are still in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit falls on them. All those people from all those countries and races and tongues are able to hear the disciples preaching the gospel in their own languages. In their own languages, and over 3,000 are converted and decide to follow Jesus. It's the grand opening of the church of Jesus Christ. Those 3,000 Christians who speak all these languages from all the countries with all the skin colors and all the races go back to their home countries and now are the seeds for growing the church worldwide. So much more effective than sending this disciple to this country here and this disciple to that one there. I think Jesus strategically and meticulously planned this whole thing so that the crowds at the Feast of Pentecost would hear the gospel in their own language and be drawn to him, and in one amazing event, the gospel would be spread to the ends of the earth. So Pentecost and this meal we're going to share together today are all about race. About all these different races hearing the same message of the good news, all deciding to follow Jesus. All those races become one as the church of Jesus Christ. To me, that is amazing and exciting. It gives us all hope. Okay, I'm going to share one more story and then I'm going to stop. My daughter Mindy's eldest son is Ezra, and he's about to turn 5 in a week. Ezra loves superheroes, and especially this show called PJ Masks. Have any of you seen this? It's three little kids who turn into superheroes with superpowers. And one's dressed in red, one in blue, one in green, and they all have different powers. You know, they can all fly. Some have powers to levitate things. Last summer, Ezra learned how to swim. So this year, when we opened our pool, Ezra got right in and started jumping around on the bottom of the shallow end and discovered that he had forgotten. He couldn't remember how to swim. And he looked really perplexed. And he stopped trying for a moment and he looked at us and he said, "Oh no, I've lost my powers." I've lost my powers. It's such a cute thing for him to say. But actually, I think this morning a lot of us may be feeling the same way. We've lost our powers. When we see these events like George Floyd being murdered by a white policeman, when we see the entire country erupt into rioting and protests, we feel powerless. What can we do against such prejudice? How can we change our country, stop what is called systemic racism? How can we not sink into that chasm ourselves? I will tell you what you can do. Make an effort. Try. Do what you can do to get to know and love friends that are not like you. Not your skin color, not your background, not your country maybe, not even your religion. Befriend a woman who wears a hijab. Befriend a guy who wears a turban, a Sikh. Befriend somebody with dreads. Just make it the kind of friendship you've always had with people in your life before, but make it with people now that you know are a stretch, that you didn't grow up with, or as my friends used to say, we don't know their people. Befriend them. And how do you do that? Tap into the power. You haven't lost your powers. you have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That word in Greek is dunamis, the same word we get dynamite from. You have in you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the explosive power of God to help you do things you never thought you'd have the strength to do, to reach out of your comfort zone and make friends with somebody who's not your people. You can do it. Jesus is living inside you, and he wants you to do this. The same Jesus that didn't keep the good news of salvation to people who were just like him, brown people in the Mideast. He wanted the church to be for everybody. All those names in Acts 2, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Rome. Jesus wanted his love and grace and forgiveness to go everywhere and to everyone, not just in Palestine and not just to brown people like him, but to you and me and to our nation. Okay, so now let us approach the table. The body and blood of Jesus. There is power in this sacrament we're going to celebrate together. Our communion today. It's the Passover meal celebrated on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is here today. Jesus' power to live in new ways. It matters whether you take it or not. Just as this bread and this cup nourish and strengthen our bodies, they also nourish and strengthen our spirits. You will be stronger by taking this sacrament. Maybe our final hymn can be our prayer today. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen.